Merci beaucoup, Monsieur.
Thank you, Chairman. I would also like to thank you for your document. It's really structured our debate, and I'd also like to thank you for the quality of the experts on the panels. This is an interactive session, so I'd like to be interactive myself rather than reading from a document. I wanted to thank all states who have prepared working papers, not just during this meeting, but also during the 2014, 15, and 16 meetings. An awful lot was contained in those various working papers. Chairman, allow me to make some comments on some ideas that have been mentioned in the working documents. One idea is in a working document, and it was submitted during this meeting, and it has to do with the inexistence of laws technology. This is an affirmation. The idea is that since we don't have this technology, and then there was a great deal of analysis involved in this, affecting recommendations, I assume that this important affirmation underpinned the proposals. But one expert in 2014 said that the laws themselves do in fact exist. This expert back then said that there were examples of this. It was Paul Shaw from the Center for New American Security. He talked about the systems themselves, not just the technology. So I think we have to say that this technology does exist. The systems themselves exist, and people have said this. So I think we need to be careful when we make those sorts of affirmations to the contrary. It leads to an analysis which then in turn leads to these proposals. My second point has to do with this notion of inequality between weapons. IHL is not static in nature, is it? States, let's not forget, do define through their treaties, through their protocols, what is deemed to be illegal or not, or lawful. The example of the weapons under Protocol 4 is a case in point. Before states adopted this additional protocol, these lasers, these blinding lasers, were not illegal per se. But after the adoption of the protocol, even this per se illegality as a notion is something that seems to be developing, and it's states that actually decide what's legal per se or otherwise. And my third point has to do with the similarity between laws and blinding lasers. I think the similarity doesn't just have to do with the operational side to these weapons. It has more to do with the grounds for prohibition of the use of these systems. And I think there are three important points that could be raised here. First of all, the possibility of a preemptive prohibition. Some delegations state that since laws do not exist, then there's not much point prohibiting them. Whereas there is a tangible case that has been mentioned in the past where blinding lasers did not exist, but that didn't prevent it from being prohibited. So I believe that there are similarities in this regard. We keep restating this example of blinding lasers. The second similarity has to do with technological development. Prohibiting blinding lasers did not prevent technology from developing or developing lasers elsewhere. That's important to bear in mind. And the third common ground has to do with the applicability of the principle of humanity and public conscience. At the moment that this protocol, this AP, was adopted, to some extent, there was a very relevant debate on the applicability of the principle of humanity and public conscience, which we still feel is applicable for the case in point, namely laws. I'd now like to go back to the question of other proposals that have been made. This notion of a political decision, voluntary measures, etc. In the absence of something legally anchoring this under the CCW, I don't believe we can envisage these other alternative measures. This is a convention that we have. It's flexible, and it can integrate protocols that prohibit or regulate certain weapons. We can't include specific mechanisms. We need to have something firmly rooted legally via a legally binding instrument, an additional protocol, and on the basis of that, then you can negotiate all kinds of measures. My fourth comment, Chair, people have been talking about definitions and many things. I have a concern because I want to know what the aim of this whole exercise is, in the sense that if we are able to define a clear goal, then we perhaps proceed better, not only in this meeting, but next.